We're all following something. The question is, where is it taking us? And I'm Robin. Welcome to East Lake. I'm the lead pastor here. And it doesn't matter if you have a religious background, you have no religion in your background at all. It doesn't matter if you're feeling great about your life, you're on top of the world, or maybe you came today and you feel like the world's on top of me. All that doesn't matter. We're just glad you're here and welcome. This is a church for everyone because Jesus loves everyone. If you get one thing today, please get this. Jesus loves you. We're in this series called Follow. And if you're starting a relationship with Jesus, you want to start a relationship with Jesus, you want to get back to a relationship with Jesus, you want to have a better relationship with Jesus, what he would often say to people is, follow me. Over and over again, he summed it up with, follow me. So we're going to be looking over the next few weeks about what it is to just follow Jesus. And he said it to all different types of people, every kind of person imaginable, Jesus would invite. He gave an invitation saying, follow me. It's the big idea this weekend. You can see where it says, everyone is invited to follow. When I was in fifth grade, I met a kid named Billy Bernard, and when we got into sixth grade, we were pretty good friends. Billy was very, very popular, and Billy was having a birthday party and was going to be a sleepover. So it was like everybody wanted to go to it, and then we find out not only a sleepover, it's going to be a camping trip sleepover. And so people start to hear about it, and you're just really hoping you're getting invited to the birthday party. And the big day comes when Billy's passing out the invitations, and I didn't get an invitation. And I kind of waiting around at recess, and at lunchtime I'm in the sixth grade. I see everybody else, you know, our friends get an invitation. I didn't get an invitation, like five, six guys. And boy, when I went home that afternoon, I'm riding the bus, and I'm just sitting there, man, I'm just moping, bummed out. You know, as a little kid, you just feel like no one likes me. I can't believe I didn't get invited to the birthday party. And the whole rest of the night, just mopey, mopey, mopey. And then the next day came. Everybody's talking about Billy's big sleepover, the camping trip. He had to go to the birthday. And I'm like, I didn't get an invite. And then at lunchtime, Billy came up to me. Bill Bernard came up to me and said, hey, man, I'm having a birthday party. We're going camping. We're sleeping out overnight. My dad's going to put it all together. And you're invited. Do you want to go? And in just an instant, everything changed for me. One invitation. And it's the same way with Jesus. He gives the invitation to everyone. So some people stand back from Jesus because they don't feel like they're invited. Or what they feel like is it's an invitation to follow religious rules. But Jesus never went there. It's an invitation to follow a person, him. Today we're going to take a look at the story of Matthew today. And Matthew was someone that was far away from Jesus, and he got an invitation to follow. He wrote an autobiography of Jesus. It's in the Bible. It's called Matthew. And today we're going to read a story that he wrote about himself. This story is called, the story's in Matthew's book. It's about him. He's a disciple. Let's look at it. Here at the very beginning of it. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew. He wrote all this. Sitting at the tax collector's booth, follow me, he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. Now, for those that aren't into Bible study a lot, you haven't done a lot of Bible study, let me tell you what a tax collector is. A tax collector would be about as despised in our culture as someone in their early 20s that's selling drugs to junior hires or grade school kids. I mean, the one that everybody just despises, nobody likes, that's the tax collector. Matthew's Jewish, he lives in Israel. And in Israel, everybody went to the same church. So there was one big dominant church that everybody went to, and everybody went to that church. Your grandma and your grandpa and your mom and your dad, your brother, sister, auntie, uncle, your teacher. They all go to this one church, dominating church. It's the Jewish church. And Matthew doesn't go to that church. So right off the bat, he's kind of an outcast. He doesn't go there. And Israel has been conquered by Rome. So Rome dominates everything now, and Rome taxes Israel an exorbitant amount of money to keep their armies going, their economy going. So you got Matthew now, who's a tax collector, and here's what they are. Rome would auction off these franchises to wealthy Jewish people. And if you had a tax franchise, that gave you permission to tax a certain region of Israel, a certain district, and you could tax all the people in that district, and you had the protection of Rome to do it. So get it now. Matthew is an outcast because he's not in the church, and then he's collecting taxes from all of his fellow Israelites and Jewish people. He's the tax collector, protected by the Romans. Now here's the catch. Rome didn't care how much you taxed people, as long as they got their share. So what these guys would do with these franchises, they would tax people 2 and 3 times more than they were supposed to, and they would keep the money for themselves, and they got wealthier and wealthier, and everybody knew. So here you are, you're Jewish, and you see him, he's not even in the church like he's supposed to be, and then he's collecting more taxes from me that I should have to pay. And that's Matthew. way on the outside. He's someone that deals with a lot of secret shame, a lot of silent shame. He knows what he's doing is betrayal. Here he is. If you ever get like this in your life or you know somebody, it's when I'll do anything for my own personal benefit. It's like when you hit one of those speed bumps in your life or you know someone and that's just how they are. Like, it seems like they'll do anything for their own personal benefit. And that's Matthew. And when you live like that way, the shame inside, because you know you're betraying people. You know you're being dishonest. You're knowing you're harming other people for your benefit. That's Matthew. So he's got a lot of shame inside of him. The last person he thought would ever invite him would be Jesus. And here comes Jesus now. He's got his little Kia set up, and he's got a franchise, and he's taxing people. And you have to pay the tax that Matthew wants because he's got Roman soldiers protecting him. And here comes Jesus now. And you know, Matthew doesn't want to see Jesus. You don't really want to see God when you're ashamed of yourself because you don't want to hear what God has to say. I mean, think of all the things that Jesus could have said to Matthew. I bet your mother's proud of you. Does your dad and mom know what you're doing? Here's the one I always got over and over again. I don't know why everybody always says it because it never seems to work, but I heard this a million times growing up. You've been making some poor choices, huh? He doesn't say any of those things. He looks at Matthew and says two words, follow me. I'm sure Matthew was surprised, and everybody else was probably surprised too. They're probably like, follow what? What are you inviting this guy for? This is like the hugest crook ever. He doesn't even go to church, and you're inviting him? Listen, write a note somewhere. Just because you don't want to be religious doesn't mean you don't want a relationship. There's lots of people that don't want to be religious. They don't want to go to church, but that doesn't mean they don't want a relationship with God. We started East Lake for all the people out there that they want a relationship. So here comes Jesus. He says, follow me. And if that seems like sort of overly simple to you, I understand, because it did to a lot of people, and it does to these people here. Matthew doesn't expect to get invited. Have you ever been invited to something and somebody doesn't want you to go? There was this kid named Perry who was Billy's friend and not really my friend, and I think he was kind of glad I didn't get invited. And then he finds out Billy invites him. He's like, what'd you invite him for? And that's probably what everybody's thinking. Why would you invite Matthew? Follow me. Do you know anybody in your life that would be completely shocked if they knew that Jesus is inviting them? Or maybe you hit times in your life where God brings a blessing into your life. You couldn't even believe it's God because you're like, you're not blessing me. I know the secrets of my life. I don't deserve this. And Matthew's totally shocked. Very simple, follow me. Let's see how it turns out. We'll read more of the story. Number one, we're going to make a contrast today between religion and relationship. Number one, religion, here's what it means. Change and you can join. So there's a bunch of church leaders around. They're very religious and they can't believe it. And even Jesus' friends can't believe it. And here's the invitation. There's been an invitation given to Matthew and Matthew accepts it. So here's how the story goes. While Jesus was having a meal in Matthew's house, many tax collectors and other outcasts came and joined Jesus and the disciples at the table. So now it gets worse. Everybody's watching this thing and they're like, what? You gave an invitation, he gets to follow, and you're going to his house? And you're going to eat with him and hang out with him? And he gets to invite all of his friends? And it says many. The tax collectors are so bad that they have to make a distinction between tax collecting and outcasts. So you have the outcasts over here. They didn't graduate from high school. They had the GED. They did like some screwed up thing. But then you have the tax collectors over here. And Matthew makes a distinction. Have you ever felt like I'm way worse than the other guy? You make a distinction in your own life. Or maybe you have a friend. You look at him and you go, here's one of my, at least I'm not as bad as that guy. That's kind of what Matthew's doing here. He's making a distinction. He's saying, you know, I invited all my friends and some of us were the worst of the worst. And then there was the worst. So you got the worst of the worst, and you got the worst, and they're all at Matthew's house having dinner, and Jesus is there. One thing about the Lord, he's no respecter of persons. So you think of the worst person you've ever met. There used to be this one girl named Dixie that used to come to a small Bible study After I became a Christian, we had a Bible study every single week. And so if you're into Bible study, you like Bible study, grab your Bibles and read your Bibles. We're going to start some small groups in a couple weeks so we can do Bible study. And so we would go every single week. I didn't know anything about the Bible. But this one girl used to come named Dixie. Her sister used to drag her along because she had a babysitter. Dixie was like about freshman high school, really, really young. And she wanted nothing to do with Jesus. So her thing was, when I go to that Bible study, you're going to make me go. I'm going to make everybody else miserable. So she would literally like sit over in the corner and snarl. What do you think, Dixie? I still remember she had braces. And the problem with Dixie is she was sort of like a cute little pixie girl, so you never bought the snarl. But she'd try it anyways, you know. It was like a little mouse snarling at you. I was like, Jesus. You know, God, she backed it up too, man. She got with this one dude and they tore up life. And I mean, it was, whew. I mean, she was like, I remember one time saying, who's the person you think is the farthest away from Jesus? I mean, you really wonder if they're ever going to get saved. Right in my mind, I thought, Dixie, that girl's going a million miles the other direction. And then I see her in church one day. Because we had a church just like this church where everybody could come, and Dixie knew that. So she shows up at church one day. I remember seeing her walk in the door, and I'm quite a ways away, like here, and something just looked different about her. I was like, Dixie, high? But she wasn't high. I went over and started talking to her. It was the craziest story. She was at her house with her grandmother, and her grandmother had prayed for her every single day to receive the Lord. And one day, Billy Graham came on the TV. Billy Graham, the old Billy Graham, comes on the TV, and Dixie sees Billy Graham, and her grandmother goes to change the channel because she knows that Dixie doesn't want to watch it. And Dixie said, hang on a second, who's that guy? The grandmother goes into the kitchen, drops down onto the floor and starts praying on her hands and knees for her granddaughter, Dixie. And Dixie starts watching Billy Graham on the television set. And you know old Billy, every time he's there, who wants to receive Jesus, come forward. And Dixie got saved and became Christian, Christ follower. And I remember thinking to myself, wow. I mean, I had her in the worst of the worst category. Who's in your category? Worst of the worst. Do not think they cannot come to the Lord. Because Dixie got saved watching Billy Graham on TV. And so can the person in your life. They can get saved too. Matthew says the worst of the worst are here, and they're here, and here's how the story goes. So here it is. Some Pharisees saw this and asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with such people? So here's Matthew, and in this particular part of the story where this big party is going on, and the disciples, they're watching it too, and they're all there together, and the religious leaders had created a church whether you're in or you're out. Have you ever been cast out of a relationship? Have you ever been cast out of a church? Ever been cast out of school? Cast out of a marriage? Your kids cast you out. You were just cast out. That's who's here. And the disciples are with them, and they're all mixed up together. And the religious leaders, the church leaders, they're all here. And in the church of the day, you were either in or you're out. So all the people are outside of that. And Jesus is with them, and they're having this meal. And the religious leaders had created these very definitive rules. You knew what it took to be inside the church that day. Everybody knew what the rules were. There was no mystery in what the rules were. Everybody knew what the rules were if you were going to be in the church. And so it was difficult because you had clarity on what the rules were, but nobody could keep the rules. So the religious leaders, the church leaders, came up with this really clever way of allowing people to somehow keep the rules without changing the rules. Here's an example. They believed in the Sabbath. These are Jewish people. They believed in the Sabbath. So there was a certain time, like from the sun goes down to it comes up the next day, you weren't supposed to do any work, and you went to the temple, and you could only travel a certain distance from your home. Now catch this. This is a clever little religious loophole. Because in religion, because nobody can keep the religious rules, you have to come up with loopholes. And so here's the loophole they came up with. You could only, like, travel a certain ways from your house, like about a mile. Well, this is everybody's one day off. They want to go out and hang out and see people and do things. So the religious leader said, well, technically, anything in your house is part of your home. So here's what the people did. They got a bag, and they put a book in there and a cup and a plate and some silverware. And, you know, like they would put, like, 50, 60 things in a bag. And then they would walk the exact amount they were allowed to by the rules. And then they would drop a cup on the ground that said, that's my house. And they would travel, and they would walk all over the place and do things and hang out because technically they were keeping the rules. That's how they got around them. Religion will always make a way for people to stay in the religion because they don't want to lose them, so they just like make it possible. Or you have to hide how you live. And Jesus caught a bunch of people doing this one time because the best way to hide how I live is to criticize how you live, is to point the finger at you. So a bunch of people, one time, they point the finger at this one woman who's been caught in adultery, and in the story, there's just the woman there, so you're always wondering, well, where's the dude? He didn't get caught, or what happened to him? She was caught in adultery. Did he just get to leave? Whatever. But they just grab the woman and bring her in, and so she's the one that's going to get in trouble. They point the finger at the woman, you, and all these people, you know. And Jesus, you've heard the saying, let he who is without sin throw the first stone. That comes from this Bible story. Jesus looks at everybody, says, Abraham says, Jesus, now you know the rules. You got to follow the rules if you're going to be with God. And Jesus says, okay, you want to follow the rules? Let's all follow the rules. And that day, you had to take the person, put them against the wall. Everybody got a rock and threw rocks at them until they died. So it'd be pretty sneaky if you're committing adultery because people see that happen. Like, oh, the girl ain't worth it. But anyways, somehow these people had. And so everybody's walking around and they're going like, hey, Jesus, Jesus. And here's what Jesus says. He says, okay, all right, okay, okay. We're all going to keep the rules. Everybody's going to keep the rules. Because remember, everybody's basically dealing with shame. And so Jesus says to him, let the person that doesn't have any shame, no secret sin, let that person throw the first one. That one get us going. And in the Bible, it says that the oldest ones started to leave first until there was nobody there at all. Because they were all hiding by pointing the finger. And Jesus said, okay, well, if you're going to hide by pointing the finger, the one that hasn't done anything wrong, and they all leave. See, in religion, you have to hide. But notice in this story, nobody's hiding. They're all hanging out with Jesus. They're all ashamed. They all have things in their life that have to be dealt with. And Jesus is right in the middle of it. Now look at the second thing here. He's trying to convince people there's a difference between relationship and religion, and there is when there comes to following. The second thing, relationship, join and you will change. So religion says you have to change a lot of things and then you can join. Relationship says join and you will change. Here's the story. Jesus heard them and answered. So here's what's going on. People who are well don't need a doctor, but only those who are sick. Go and find out what is meant by the scripture that says, it's kindness that I want, not animal sacrifices. I've not come to call the respectable people, but outcasts. And you have to wonder what Matthew and his friends are thinking when they hear Jesus say this. I mean, you know, they're probably like, Matthew, did Jesus just tell them that we're sick? I mean, that's kind of rude. I mean, did he just call us all sick? But they don't leave. There must have been something about the Lord that they could handle his honesty. Do you have anybody in your life that they can speak to you truthfully? They can say the truth to you, and you can handle it. Now, Jesus just meets these people, and he says a very true thing. And this is interesting. Think about the story. If you think about it, Jesus doesn't think anything different about the tax collectors and the outcasts than the religious people think about them. But he treats them different. He's honest about them. He says, yep, they got pretty unhealthy lives. They got a lot of issues. They got a lot of problems. But he's still willing to be with them. The religious people are like, yep, they got pretty unhealthy lives. They got a lot of problems, got a lot of issues, but I'm not willing to be with them. Imagine you were really super, super, super sick, and you drag yourself down to the doctor, and you get in there, you open up the door, and there's an empty waiting room, and there's a big, huge sign on the wall, and this is what it says. If you're sick or hurt, you'll have to leave. The doctor is here, and he knows how to heal you, but he can't take a chance on catching what you've got. Can you imagine? That's religion. Religion sees the same things that Jesus does, and Jesus says the same thing the church leader says. Yeah, they got a lot of problems. Whoa, they're unhealthy. These people got some stuff. But he's willing to be with them. Because when you follow Jesus, you change. Now let's talk just a minute about why we even started East Lake Church. We started East Lake Church so there would be a place that people would know they could come and they could start to follow Jesus before they have to change for Jesus. Some place they could come and know that change happens while I'm following Jesus, not before I meet Jesus. Some place that they could come and they wouldn't be all bogged down by religious rules. They could see a relationship that could happen. So invite people, tell them about it, because here's the thing. People that are far away from God, oftentimes they confuse that with, I can't go to church. If I go to church, I'm just going to feel more ashamed. So they get trapped in this idea that I'll never be able to be with God or Jesus because I can never go to church. Because church is a place that I have to either hide how I live or I got to find some loophole or rule that I'll never be able to keep. And so they just never do pursue the Lord. And it's our job, really, as followers, to say, no, that's really not how it is. You can go to church, you can be a long ways away from God. If you want a relationship, the doctor's in. He'll be with you. And maybe he knows you're sick. And think about it. I mean, honestly, if even yesterday or the day before you had to download your brain to a hard drive and then they were going to hook it up to a projector and let everybody in Salt Lake City see it, would you want anybody to know your thoughts? Would you want anybody to look inside your heart? I mean, isn't it true? We're all unhealthy. I mean, I know it's not a good thing to hear, but we're all kind of sick. We all got issues. We all got problems. The good news, Jesus will still be with you. We all have shame. We're all ashamed of something. We all have things in our lives that we're disappointed in, we're shameful about. And sometimes you have to ask Jesus 100 times to forgive you of something that you feel ashamed about. Not because he hasn't forgiven you, it's so difficult to forgive ourselves or believe that Jesus would. It's like a spot that keeps coming back. You know, so I thought I just, so you ask him again. You see the doctor again. Religious people are far different than that. Like, shh, shh, hide that. Keep that quiet. And then it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And there are so many people close to us here that feel far away from God, but they want a relationship, but they look and they see church or religion, and they go, I could never follow those rules. I'll just feel worse if I go. That's why we started this place. It's for all of them and all of us that the doctor's in. And Jesus says something to the religious leaders. He doesn't forget them. He says, listen, go to the Bible and read it and find out what God is like. He said, God wants kindness, not sacrifice. And you know, you'll never really understand much about Jesus unless you know that he has a kind heart. You really won't be able to get too far with God unless you understand him as being kind. And a lot of people, you know, they stay back from Jesus because they really do believe it's going to be sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. As soon as I move towards Jesus, he's going to tell me to give this up, and he's going to make me do things I don't want to, and he's going to tell me I can't do some of the things I want to. It's just going to be sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice. And the religious leaders have it all mixed up. That's why they never really were able to understand that Jesus sacrificed, because they believe that we're supposed to sacrifice so we could be with God, when it was just the opposite. God said, I'm going to come to earth and be the sacrifice so you can be with me. But he can get turned around. You might be in your life right now, and God is asking you to follow him somewhere, and you know it is, and it just feels like a sacrifice. It doesn't feel like an extension of kindness. And Jesus tells me, he says, listen, when it comes to following, if you'll always see it as an extension of God's kind heart. Several years ago, some friends and I were helping a family move. Some friends of ours helping to move. They have a two-story house. So we're helping these people move in and or move out. Yeah, I think it was move out. And so we're helping these guys move out. And, you know, we're going up into the two-story area to, you know, get some stuff out of there. And it's a real narrow stairwell and a real narrow hallway. And they got this, like, five-year-old kid, son. And so I'm in the front. We're all walking down this highway. And this kid comes walking out of the bedroom with a shotgun. And he just comes walking right out of the bedroom. We're walking down the hallway. Comes walking out of the bedroom with a shotgun. He's like, hey, guys, look what I got. He's got a shotgun, like, right. I mean, we're in a narrow hallway. He's got it just like, this is what I got, guys. And I had one of those dual moments that guys can have, because it was the coolest looking camouflage shotgun ever. And so one part of my brain was like, whoa, that gun's dope. Look at that thing. That's really cool. But the other side of my brain was going, do something, man. He's got a shotgun on you, you know. He's like, hey, guys. So I'm like, hey, little dude. Hey, little man. Hey, dude. Shotgun, man. That's a shotgun. Put the barrel down. Just a little point it down. No, point it down. Take your hand off it. And all of a sudden, I hear his dad from the back yell out his name. I've told you, you're never supposed to touch that gun. He comes blowing right by us, grabs a shotgun, picks him up like this, takes him into the bedroom, killed that kid. But I mean, you know, now here's the thing. Many different perspectives going on there. Here's one of them. His little son's probably thinking, why do you have to ruin my fun? I wasn't going to do anything. It's not like I was going to shoot him. I know what I'm doing with a gun. That's his perspective. Then there's our perspective. Boy, I'm glad I didn't pee my pants. And then there's the dad's perspective. I can't let this happen. I got to do something right now. And you know, a lot of times we're like the little boy. We just can't see God's heart. It just feels like sacrifice, sacrifice. Take away my fun. Don't let me do what I want to do. Make me do things I don't want to do. When actually, it's so necessary for me. Now listen, what, for those that are following Jesus, God is asking you to follow him right now. And it doesn't feel like kindness. And it's okay to be honest about that, but it is kindness. It's not just a sacrifice. To follow Jesus is not just sacrifice, 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 constantly stretching me, always making me do things I don't want to, always making me make choices I don't want to do. That's all it ever is, sacrifice. That's not the relationship. It's a relationship of kindness. That's what it's about. And the religious leaders, they're having the hardest time catching that because they don't see God as kind. If you see the Lord as kind, you'll want to follow him. But if you think he's just going to follow you into one sacrifice after another, you'd be like, too difficult. And so Jesus is trying to tell them that. Now look, the last thing you notice, the bottom line, am I following? Am I following? And in your relationship with Jesus, maybe you're far away, maybe you're close. You know, Matthew becomes a follower of Jesus. He leaves the tax thing behind after a while, becomes one of the disciples. He has a really close relationship with Jesus. And he writes this autobiography of Jesus. And when he's trying to decide how to end the story, the last lines of the book, he decides to quote Jesus from a time when Jesus was telling all the disciples how to make more disciples. And here's what he says. This is Jesus talking. Matthew quotes, he ends the whole story, the whole book, he ends it with these lines right here. Jesus talking, "Form them in the practices and postures that I have taught you, and show them how to follow. And I will be with you day after day to the end of the age." It's following. And so he doesn't say, you know, I'm going to make you more successful. I'm going to make you happy. It's not try to be better Christian. Try to be more holy. It's none of those things. He's just very, very simple. Follow. Now, over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some very practical ways to follow. And so please try to make it every single weekend. Tell people to make it because very practical ways. These are things everybody can use. They'll be really, really super practical. But for today and this week, I'd like us just to work in just one question. So here's the thing. What Jesus is asking is something everyone can do. We can all get up every morning and ask this question. Just one. Let's just boil it down to one. Put everything you think about religion, all your relationship, just kind of push it to the side, just for this week, just push it all to the side, and just ask yourself this question every day, am I following? Well, stuff's not going like I want it to in work, and I don't think it's just am I following? It's like, whoa, listen, am I following? Just am I following?